mobile music band.
And that's like Beam Lady Bumper. And that's
Oh, okay.
If you win, pulls up the golden mic, you have to catch it.
We gotta catch the golden mic.
Yeah. And then you win.
When you win, you catch the golden mic. Alright. When did you learn how to snap? Way to go. Here we go. Check one, check two, check three. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Okay. 1, 2, 1, 2. There we are. Amen. Very good. We got one birthday for you. That's my, how old is Aubrey now? 24. Boy, time is moving on, isn't it? All right, Aubrey Lee's turning 24 today. All right. So maybe you should text her and tell her to, okay. Well, I contacted her on the Facebook, but maybe you should tell her we're singing happy birthday to her. She can go back and watch it. Amen.
Amen.
All right, happy birthday. Anybody other, any other birthdays? Nothing else? Nothing else? All right, let's sing us some happy birthday. Good morning.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. Well, if you would, stand if you can. We're going to sing More Precious Than Silver.
Lord, you are no way to measure what you're worth.
Repented of my sins and won the victory. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord Jesus, for this beautiful day you've given us, Lord. We just give you all the glory and honor and praise your holy name, lift you up on high. And Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful worship music and Jeremiah leading it in our choir. Lord, we thank you for them just standing up there and just letting it all go, Lord. We appreciate that, Lord. And we just ask you to be with the pastor this morning as he brings the message. Lord, put that message on his heart, put the word on his heart, and just let it flow out through these out here, Lord, and the Holy Spirit just work and touch somebody's soul, Lord. May they come forth and give their life to you, Lord. We just pray for all the ones traveling and are not here today or sick or whatever it might be. We just pray for them. Pray for all the ones online. Boy, we're glad that they'd be able to, the shut-ins, the ones can watch us and listen to the word. And, Lord, we just thank you for, again for everything you've given us, Lord, and give you all the praise. It's just a small portion we give back to you. And we just thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light. And send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, send the light. And a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light. And send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light. And send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Amen. Praise the Lord.
All right, very good. Amen. Well, are we going to try to do a children's church, or are we just going to? Oh, we do have some more. All right, come on, children's church. Yeah, all right. Yes, Riley says, way to go, man. Outstanding. All right, all right. Oh, I found you. Ain't no hiding from that boy. He'll find you, amen. All right, all right. Very good. All those of you with us online, good to have you with us today. And a beautiful day out there in store. Fall equinox is happening on Thursday, and I cannot believe how hot it's going to be. Somebody, come on, man. Fred, what that's all about? It's supposed to be getting cooler. They said Thursday's going to be 98 degrees. What? What happened to fall? Fall, please come back. Amen. Be praying for fall to come back. For the rest of you, if you have a copy of God's Word, please take your Bibles and turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the Holy and Inerrant Word of God. Those of you with us online, good to have you with us this morning. We're going to be preaching from the same passage we were in last week. If you are an astute Bible student, you may have thought to yourself, I don't think he finished that passage. Well, I did not finish that passage. Matthew 22, beginning in verse 34. So we'll pick it up again right here where we were at last week. We'll read these verses and then we'll seek to finish this passage that we began last Sunday morning. Have you found that this morning? Say amen. Amen. The Word of God reads this, Matthew's Gospel 22, beginning in verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." Now, while the Pharisees, on these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Don't want to steal my thunder for next week. Amen? All right, let's bow our heads for a prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you, and we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word this morning. We pray that you would take this word and would lead, guide, and direct us and make us more into the image of Christ. We pray for those that are watching online. Lord, there may be somebody out there online or picks this message up here in a week or a month or perhaps even a year from now on the YouTube. And Lord, we pray even now in advance that their hearts would be pricked, that they would get a sense that they are lost. And Lord, they would find themselves at the crossroad of needing to make a decision for you. And we pray that you would use this church, you would use this word, Lord, to bring the convicting power of salvation on somebody's life to the point where they could not deny the faith any longer. Thank you, Lord, that you've saved us. We pray that you continue to save others. And Lord, use us in proclamation of the gospel in getting the word of God out. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, we're taking another look at these two commandments today. Now, you'll remember from last week, we said the Lord's response, as always, when he's questioned, when you question the Lord in the word of God, when you question him, the Lord's response, as always, was perfect and absolutely accurate. Amen, church? Why is that? Well, because he's Jesus. Jesus is God, right? He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's who Jesus is. When he quoted passages from Deuteronomy and Leviticus that were familiar to all Jews, which is what he's doing here in this passage that we just read, he affirmed his complete solidarity with Moses and with the truth of the Word of God as recorded by Moses. Now, the command Jesus named is the most basic, foundational Old Testament truth. We talked about it last week. We called it the Shema because that's what it is, known as the Shema, from the Hebrew verb translated hear that begins Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. The Shema, we said, is still recited daily by religious Jews as a part of their Sabbath synagogue worship. So when the Shema was revealed, we said Moses was what? He was 120 years old, right? He was nearing the end of his life and was delivering God's law to the Jewish people. And do you remember last week we talked about this kind of this little caveat that's going on with the Jewish people that Moses was giving the law to, this little caveat? For the previous 40 years, the people of Israel, because of God's judgment on their disobedience and unbelief, had wandered in the wilderness between Egypt and Canaan. Now, during that time, the entire generation of disobedient, unbelieving, idolatrous people that came out of Egypt in the Exodus had what? Took them 40 years, but had what? They had, all of them had died off. Yeah, they had passed away, right? A new generation had arisen that would enter the promise, who would possess and enter the promised land. Deuteronomy, the book, records a series of messages that Moses gave to the people, reminding them of what God required of them. That is this Shema. This Shema was part of Moses' final instructions to the generation that would enter the promised land under Joshua's leadership. So the Shema requires that God be loved first with our total being. Now, do you love him with your total being? I hope you love him with your total being. The word says heart, right? This is the great verse 37. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Heart. Heart in the Hebrew. In this Hebrew, this understanding is the core of a person's identity, the source of all thoughts, the source of all words, the source of all actions, right? It comes from where? It comes from the heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Now, love for God. Love for God must flow from the deepest part of a person's being. Where is that? That's our heart. But secondly, the passage says it talks about the soul, right? The soul. Soul adds the emotions. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26 and verse 38 says, then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved. This is Christ talking to his disciples. My soul is deeply grieved, right? To the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. What did they do? Well, they fell asleep on him, right? But he was wanting them to stay awake with him and pray before his being taken into custody, before his crucifixion. Jesus, Matthew 26, 38. Jesus speaking of, in Matthew 26, and in our current passage in chapter 23, he's saying his soul, he's saying your soul, he's saying the soul is the seat of emotion. And then we have this word here in verse 37, talks about the mind, the mind that embraces the will, that embraces your intentions, that embraces your motivations, that embraces your purposes, that embraces so much of what you do. Amen? So the intellectual, the emotional, the volitional. Well, what about strength, Pastor? We don't see strength in this gospel, but if we look at other gospel accounts of the same account, it refers to mind and strength. Strength refers to what? That physical energy and function. So the intellectual, the emotional, the volitional, and physical elements of personhood are all involved in loving God. Right? Now, genuine love for God is an intelligent love. Genuine love for God is an emotional love. Genuine love for God is a willing love. And a genuine love for God is an active love. It's all. It's not either or. It's both and. It's all of the above. Amen? It's not A, B, C, or D. It's all of them. Amen? You get that, right? In short, this love for God is comprehensive. In short, this love for God is all-consuming. It is a singular adoration. So if we were going to take some notes on this second part to this passage, the first point would be this. God's wholehearted love for believers. You believe God loves you? God's wholehearted love for believers. He sent his son to die on the cross for you, right? Amen? God's wholehearted love for believers must not be reciprocated with half-hearted devotion. Amen? Should not be reciprocated with half-hearted devotion. Now, what do we have here in the passage? We have a tale of two people groups. A tale of two people groups. In Deuteronomy, the people of God are challenged over and over again to give God such wholehearted love, right? That's the first tale. I said a tale of two peoples. The first tale of these people in Deuteronomy where Moses first gave this love to, right? In Deuteronomy, the people of God are challenged over and over again to give God such wholehearted love. And so it begs the question, why? Well, because that former generation loved their own safety. That former generation, they loved their own lives more than obedience to God when God showed them the promised land, right? Said, here's the door. Here's the keys. Here's the title deed. Now go take it, right? They said, well, you know, we kind of like our safety and our lives more than this promised land that you're offering us. And so we're going to go right up to the line, but we're not going to cross over into the promised land. Did God stop loving them? No. God loved that former generation. You know, God could have and dropped them all, right? He could have just, you disobedient, and dropped them all. But he didn't do that. Why didn't he do that, preacher? Because God loved that former generation. He loved that former, disobedient, loved them still. Disobedient, loved them still. He loved that former generation so much that he gave them what? He gave them 40 years to get their affairs in order. He gave them 40 years to reproduce another generation. He gave them 40 years to spend some more time with them here on earth before he called the last of them home to be with him. And so in doing that, God was desiring their offspring to love him like the parents would not. Like the parents would not. That brings me to a tale of two people groups. That's the first tale in Deuteronomy. The second tale is the Jewish leaders and the people here in Jesus' own time. In Jesus' own time. As had been the case throughout Israel's history, these folks, these same Jewish folks, just thousands of years later, they were far from truly loving God. They were far from wholeheartedly loving God. Now, were they aware of the Shema? Oh, absolutely. Were they aware of the numerous other Old Testament commands to love him? Absolutely they were aware of it. Yet they were incapable of loving God. And it kind of begs the question, why? Why were they not loving God wholeheartedly, preacher? Because they were disobedient inwardly. Disobedient inwardly. See, their religion was reduced to ritual. They were simply going through the motions of it with legalistic outward practices, thinking that they were somehow going to earn their merit with God, their salvation with God. Now, you can dress that up and put lipstick on that, but that ain't going to fly, is it? No, ain't going to happen. Now, let me give you the application here. You want to love God, right? Wholeheartedly? Yes, with all of your being. Yes, yes? Let me give you the application. No one in here, no one behind this right here, nobody out there can perfectly, underline that word perfectly in your mind, no one can perfectly love God or keep his law as he requires. Let me give you a couple verses here. Ecclesiastes 7:20. The Word of God reads this. Indeed, there is not a righteous man on earth. Indeed, there is not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and who never sins. There was only one perfect man. What's his name? That's right. Nor was the law given as a means of salvation. Never was. Galatians chapter 3:24 tells us exactly what the law was for. Galatians 3:24 says this, therefore the law has become our tutor, to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. And so the Shema and the rest of Moses' discourses in Deuteronomy should have convinced the people that they could never keep that command on their own. Jesus is kind of setting it up here. Jesus is kind of making it easy for them. But Jesus, you know what Jesus understands? This is his first advent, not his second, right? His first advent, right? Jesus understands this is his first advent. But it begs the question. It makes you think. It makes you ponder the entire nation, those Sanhedrins, those Pharisees, those Sadducees, the entire nation. What should they have done, preacher? What should they have done? They should have been like the tax collector in Luke chapter 18, verse 13. Well, what in the world did he do? Well, the Word of God reads, but the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, right? Beating his breast, right? God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Still with me? Amen, amen? Let me give you the application here. You want to praise God even more. You want to praise Him even more because believers, me and you, we are forgiven for not giving God the devotion He deserves. We're forgiven. But praise God, this is the point of all this, from last week and this week. Praise God when we do desire to love God and the Lord Jesus Christ more. See, we never get to perfect, but we can get to more. We can want more, to love Him more. We can strive to love Him. We can work in our daily devotion to love Him more. Not work for our salvation, but work to love Him more. Unbelievers, people who are as lost as a ball in high weeds, those that don't know Him, unbelievers do not love Him, think they can love some things, but they have a capacity to love God as an unbeliever. But what's the missing element, preacher? Well, the missing element is the person of the Holy Spirit. If they're lost, they are devoid of that Holy Ghost. There's no way. They've not been quickened. The Spirit has not come alive. And so they just cannot love God. They can't even desire to love Him more, right? Amen? God's wholehearted love for believers must not be reciprocated with half-hearted devotion. Number two, if we're taking notes on this, the second commandment is inseparable from the first. The second commandment is inseparable from the first. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Whoa. My soul. That's a potent statement, isn't it? Yes, yes. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Now, we talked about a tale of two people groups. Hopefully, we have another tale of two people groups. First tale, the arrogant, prideful scribes, the arrogant, prideful Pharisees, the arrogant, prideful Sadducees did neither love God or their neighbor. How do you know that? Well, it's illustrated by Jesus in the Good Samaritan parable. They didn't love God or their neighbor, right? Hopefully, a tale of two people groups. See, the caution of this command is not to twist it into a call for self-love. There's plenty of that going on. We don't want to further that. That's a natural inclination, right, with saved people and lost people, is to love themselves. However, self-love is not the intent of the command, right? We want to think about how we love ourselves, and then we want to pivot off of that and apply that to loving our neighbor. The Lord's point is we're to have the same kind of love, the same kind of care for neighbors, for strangers, the same kind of love and care for enemies that we possess for ourselves. Now, do you love your neighbor as yourself? Well, that's one. Anybody else? Well, thank you for being honest. Amen. You love your neighbor as yourself? Amen, brother. That's two. All right. If you want to love your neighbor as yourself, say amen. All right. Praise the Lord. It's easy to lose your love for your neighbor, isn't it? We got a neighbor. They got a 16-year-old boy, and he parks on the street. And some days he does really good, and some days he's 2 feet off the curb. And he's right in front of my driveway with that car, right? And, you know, I come in, and I don't back out a truck. It's got a camera on it, but I don't trust it, right? I want to see it with my eyes, so I try to back in so I can pull out when I have to leave. And so, very tempting, very, very tempting to lose your Christian love for the young man when he's 2 feet off the curb. But you can't do it. I thought about, you know, we need to have some kind of a point system or grading system. And then I don't want to embarrass the young man, right? You know, so like if he ends up being 6 inches off the curb, you know, we could have like a sign in our window and says, your parking job is a 10 today. Amen. And then when he's 2 feet off the curb, we can say, you can do better. Your parking job is a 2. You know what I mean? Right. But it's real easy. I mean, it's real easy to lose that love and feeling for our neighbor. We've got humanity. I mean, I would just call them humanity. I wouldn't call it anything else but humanity. We've got our humanity crossing our borders in our country in the amount of 250,000 people a month. 250,000 people a month. And we think about that and we go, my soul. How can our services and our health care and our emergency services and our county, how can that keep up? I don't know. But they're people, right? And people deserve what? Yeah. Especially the little kids, right? You know, you got a Honduran family or a Chilean family or Mexican family, and they're dirt poor. And the parents are working 80 hours a week. And you say, well, you know, preacher, I've worked 80 hours a week. Yeah, but you got paid for it, right? You got double time and a half, and you got a retirement out of the deal and health care and all that jazz, right? And they're working there out in the field. You know what I would do if I was working for nothing? And I had 4 kids at home that I never saw because I was working for nothing. You know what I'd do, James? I'd figure out a way, you know, these phones. Everybody's got a phone, whether you're poor or rich. Everybody's got one, right? Everybody's got one. Amen? You know what I'd do? I would look on that phone where there's a better place. And you know what the phone would show me? There's a better place. And you know what I would do? I'd do exactly what you'd do, Mr. Folger. I would pack my bags and I would take my family to where there's a better place. Amen? That's what I would do. That's what I would do. Whether if it's the United States of America or it's Sweden or it's Aruba or Puerto Rico or wherever it's at, I would hightail it there. And you can't tell me that you wouldn't do the same. Right? You're working so much, you can't even get your kids clothed in the morning and get them off to the D or F public education that is in your country. You can't even do it because you're working so much. And you know that there's a place that you can travel 1,500 miles to or 2,000 miles to. You can spend what little money you have to get there. You're going to do it. Fred, you'd do it. I know I'd do it. Amen. I would think, you know, they talk about this American dream. Now, what are we doing as a people group? We have a broken. Would you agree with me that the immigration system is broken? I mean, it's broken. All right. So we have an immigration system that's broken, right? And so our last administration didn't let anybody come in, hardly. They came in, but not like they're coming in now. But my soul, they're coming in. Well, preacher, are we ever going to be able to stop? I don't know. Well, what about overcrowding? And there's not enough food. And they're not. Man, I'm telling you, I was up in Kansas for a funeral a couple months ago. There's plenty of room in Kansas to put people. You been up there? You go drive around western Kansas. They don't even pave the roads out there. That's how open it is. Amen? You just try Wyoming. New Mexico. There's plenty of room, friend. And every time I turn around, you know what I see, Brother John? Help wanted sign. Well, man, if Americans won't do it, let some people come in that will. You know what? If they get on the books and they get a visa or this, guess what they get to pay like the rest of us? That's what we need. Come on, amen? Taxes make it all go around, don't it? Yeah, taxes, right? And so on one hand, I'm upset as an American that people are poo-pooing on our laws and crossing the border illegally. But on the other hand, as a parent and a father, I'm thinking, you know, I'd probably do the same thing. And as a Christian, I look at the Democrats and I look at the Republicans and I'm thinking, can y'all not put your heads together and figure this out? I mean, we pay you senators and you House of Representative people. We pay you buku money. We set you up for life with a pension. You get the best health care of anybody in the country. And you can't get your heads together in a room and figure this out? Come on, man. And so our governor, God love him. Now, DeSantis is a different story because he's surrounded by water. I don't understand. But our governor, if you don't think immigration is a problem, you take your little car ride down yonder and spend you two, three days. Those people, those charities down there, and those Texans down there, and those Americans, they are up to here with it. So putting some folks on a bus or a plane and shipping them off to a sanctuary city. Don't you love these folks? They talk about, we're a sanctuary city and we're not going to hunt down illegal immigrants and we're not going to send them back and we're not going to turn them over to ICE and we're going to help them. Okay, well, we'll send you some folks to help. Amen? That don't bother me at all. Shipping them and busing them and training them. Hey, man, listen. Texas, to my immigrant folks, Texas does not go from the West Coast to the East Coast. Texas is Texas. And then there's this place called New Mexico, and then Arizona, and then Nevada, and then California, and you go the other way, Louisiana. Help me out here. What's next to Louisiana? Mississippi? Alabama, and then Florida. Amen? That's the southern border. Texas doesn't go from coast to coast. We just right here on the Gulf of Mexico. Amen? Now, we could be our own country. We could secede from the nation, right? But you know that ain't ever going to happen. Not now, anyway. So, I'm all with the governor. Let's spread the love. Amen? Let's spread it, right? You know, California, New York, you want to get in on the immigration ministry? Here you go. We'll keep sending folks up here. You can help them. God, good Lord knows we've tried to help them here, right? Amen? And so I love the fact, DeSantis is another story, but I love that our governor pushing the issue. You federal government folks, you overpaid bureaucrats and politicians, figure it out. Amen? Maybe come November will happen, and a new group of folks can figure it out. It's got to get better than this. Amen? Got to get better than this. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Whatever your political conviction is on immigration, as a Christian, you got to love these people. You got to love them. Leviticus 19, 9 through 18. We're going through this book on Sunday evenings and Wednesday nights. But the Word of God says this, hopefully not to steal too much thunder. Hopefully by the time we get to Leviticus 19, you will have forgotten this. But anyway, it says, now when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest, nor shall you glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the needy and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. You shall not swear falsely by my name, so as to profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of a hired man are not to remain with you all night until morning. You shall not curse a deaf man, nor place a stumbling block before the blind. You shall revere your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor defer to the great. But you are to judge your neighbor fairly. You shall not go about as a slanderer among your people, and you are not to act against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your fellow countryman in your heart. You may surely reprove your neighbor, but shall not incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Wow. That's a chunk. Amen? When it comes to loving our neighbor. So what are some ways, based on that passage, based on this passage we're in here, preacher, in Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40, what are some ways to love our neighbor? We're talking about a tale of two people here. The people that Jesus addressed, that's one tale, they didn't love God or their neighbor. We say as Christian folk, we want to love God more. Can't love him perfectly until we get on the other side of time, but we want to love him more, amen? Well, loving him more means loving our neighbor. So this is our tale. Notice that loving our neighbor would include sharing with the poor and the alien, right? Notice that loving and compassion and absolute honesty and justice in our relationships with others. Notice that impartiality, a refusal to be a party, to gossip or slander, an absence of malice toward anyone, and a refusal to bear a grudge. Taking care never to put another's life at risk, never taking private vengeance upon another. Notice that that's how we love our neighbor. Leviticus 19, right? We also love our neighbor when we have an issue with anyone. We go to them directly in an attempt to make things right. We also love our neighbor when in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, it says, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. Amen? For this is the law and the prophets. We also love our neighbor when we share the gospel with those that are lost. Somebody say amen to that. Amen? The fact remains that anyone who does not have a personal relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, the fact remains, they will die in their sins and they will face an eternity in hell. Therefore, we owe our neighbors our best effort in lovingly sharing with them the good news of the gospel. True believers have been forgiven. True believers possess eternal life. True believers have blessings forever as a result of others who have shared the gospel with us. God's love is evidenced in us as we communicate this precious gospel and love others as we have been loved. Amen and amen? Amen. Jesus chose these two commands. He chose these two because they best embody the entire law of God as summarized by the Ten Commandments. In Mark chapter 12, verse 31, in Mark's account, he records Jesus saying, there is no other commandment greater than these. And then in Matthew's gospel that we're in today, in Matthew 22, 40, it says, on these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Now, get this if you've never gotten it. This first command here in verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This relates to the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments. And that's what this relates to, right? Ten Commandments located in Exodus 20, verses 2 through 17, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 6 through 21. This second commandment that we have here about loving our neighbor, the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This last, the second commandment, or the last one, deals with the last six commandments that relate to loving man. So the first four in the Ten Commandments relate to loving God. The second six relate to loving man. Jesus is tying it all together. He's putting a beautiful bow on it. He's making it so simple for us. He's bringing it down to two things. Amen? You got to love it. So, preacher, what is the final analysis? What is the final analysis here? When thinking about the Sanhedrin's attempt to discredit Jesus, well, you're not going to do that. That's never going to happen, right? The Sanhedrin's attempt to discredit and destroy the Son of God ended in a complete failure. Complete. But don't miss the message of love interwoven in these verses. That's what I've tried to bring out. The message of love. Interwoven. Love is tough. Would you say amen to that? Love is a tough deal. It demands things from us that we struggle to give sometimes. Love. But old friend, love is where it's at. When it comes to the economy of God, love is where it's at. So don't miss the message of love interwoven in these verses. There's a story of a great tribal leader. He was known for his fairness and his wisdom. And one day in his kingdom, in his realm, it was reported that someone in the tribe was stealing. Now, the leader proclaimed that the thief, when captured, would receive 10 lashes. And he gave that proclamation as kind of a preventative. You know, the person stealing, it would get around to them, and they would go, 10 lashes. I don't want 10 lashes. And so the thievery would stop. That's what he thought. Well, the thievery kept on. And as the thievery kept on, the king, the tribal leader, he kept adding to the punishment till eventually the punishment for the thief when they were caught would be 40 lashes. Well, the thieving still didn't stop. To make a long story short, the king knew that 40 lashes, he knew that only himself and probably a handful of men in his kingdom would be able to survive the whip master's beating of 40 lashes. Well, the thief was finally apprehended. And to everyone's horror, she turned out to be the leader's own aged mother. My soul. Well, you can imagine how the talk went around the leader's kingdom, the king's kingdom. What's he going to do, right? The people speculated what the leader would do. They discussed what they would do. They armchair quarterbacked that thing to death. One of his laws required children to love and honor their parents. Yet another demanded the public whipping of thieves. So how would he satisfy his love and save his mother? Or would he satisfy his law and watch his mother die under the whip? Right? She was frail. She was slipping mentally. You know, how many swats from the leather whip do you think an aged old woman could stand? You know, you would see chunks of flesh fly off her back and perhaps even pieces of rib and part of lung. I mean, it would be, what, she'd get 4 swats before she collapsed and died? I mean, the tribe finally gathered around a large post at the center of the kingdom there, the tribe, the compound, whatever you want to call it. And the leader entered and sat on his throne. The two towering warriors led his frail mother to the compound and tied her hands to the post. Finally, the tribal whipmaster came in with bulging muscles. You know, he's got the thing over his face so nobody knows who he is. He comes in carrying a long leather whip. The warriors that had escorted his aged mother in, they rip her garments off her torso, exposing her frail back. Just then, as the whipmaster draws back for the first throw, the leader raises up his hand and he halts the punishment. Well, friend, you could hear a sigh of relief. It went up from the crowd. Everybody began to smile and shed tears and celebrate and said his love would be satisfied. But then they began to think, what about his law? And so the leader, he stood up, he took off his crown, and he made his way towards his mother. He removed his own shirt And then he wrapped his huge arms and his great body around his frail mother, exposing his huge muscular back to the whipmaster. Breaking the heavy silence, he commanded, "Proceed with the punishment. Proceed. 40 lashes. 40 lashes. I end just to tell you this. You know, we've talked about love, and we probably talked about some uncomfortable things when it comes to politics and illegal aliens. But friend, we are able to love God. We have the ability to do it. And we have the ability to love each other, the alien, the church member, the neighbor, the coworker, the jerk on the highway. We have the ability to love them all. Why? Because he first loved us. May I remind you in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and we thank you, Lord, for challenging us with sometimes uncomfortable concepts. Lord, it is difficult to wrap our heads around what it means to love our neighbor. But Lord, the Bible commands so. And Lord, before we are a political party this or a political party that, and before we are a U.S. citizen or a Texan, we are a Christian. And so, Lord, help us navigate all of the different things that we hear on the TV and the news radio and the this and the that, seeking to exploit us this way or exploit us that way or to convince us of this or convince us of that. Lord, may we first be convinced of what your word says. May we first be burdened with the truth and then operate in the world based on your word. And not on anybody else's, but your word. Lord, help us. Help this country. Help this nation. Lord, help this situation we got going on at the border. Lord, we pray for your intervention. We pray for a fix. We pray for a new system. Something's got to happen somehow, some way. Something's got to happen. So, Lord, we're praying your great hand upon it. We are thankful today, Lord, for the different churches that have stepped up across this land, whether it be down on the borders of the different states or the different places where these folks are being bused and flown to. Lord, thank you for them stepping up and showing the love of Christ and being the hands and the feet of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for the politicians in the midst of all this. Instead of them pointing fingers across the aisle, may you bring the proverbial fingers together and a joining of hands and a coming together of minds. And Lord, may you help them solve what ails this country in the area of immigration. So Lord, it's amazing how we come to your word and it intersects our lives and it intersects what's going on in the world. We pray that you would help us be the Christian light and be the Christian voice and be the Christian conscience wherever we're found. Lord, may we speak the truth in love, but may we speak it and may we love people, not because of what they've done, but because of who they are. And that's being created by you and having the potentiality to love you and to spend an eternity with you. So, Father God, we're thankful that we are heaven bound. We're thankful that we are heading that way. But, Lord, there are many other folks that need to receive the gospel. So, Lord, work us, work through us, send us. Lord, convict us. Give us those divine appointments. Lord, point us in the right direction to go. And, Lord, may we be faithful. May we be found faithful and obedient to do your bidding and to do your will in this old dying world. We love you today. We praise you. Be with those that need to come and pray for loved ones or need to unburden themselves with something at the foot of the cross down here, Lord, in the sanctuary. Father God, we just pray you have your way with us as we enter in this time of invitation. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. If you'll stand with us, Brother Jeremiah, lead us in this time of invitation. Amen, amen. All right. Y'all ready? Where's I ever be? Amen. You need to ask these four folks right here. I don't have my lapel mic's going up. These four folks right here, they went and saw, are you ready for this? Drum roll, anybody? Da-da. They went and saw the Ark. Yeah, man. Where's that? What state is that located in? Kentucky. Amen. That's where it is. And, they went on a bus with how many people? 73. 37. Well, you're a little dyslexic like I am. Amen. 73, 37. And they said they got fed. Was it good? Amen. So, when's the next bus rolling out? Amen. That is something I want to see, man, is the Ark. How about you? Amen. Did y'all take some pictures? A few. All right. Amen. Well, you know, you come show up at their Sunday school class before class starts next Sunday, and maybe they'll show you some. Amen? All right, all right? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your love, your care, and concern for us. And, Lord, thank you that we can take it out of here, take the gospel out of here. Thank you for those folks online with us today. We pray that you'd keep them encouraged and fueled and fed up through the online services. And Lord, be with those that are sick. We pray for Ms. Barbara today, Barbara McNew, and others, Lord, in our congregation that are not feeling well. We pray you just lift them up, touch their bodies, bring healing to them, Lord. And Father God, we pray that you just continue to be with us. Give us safety as we depart this place. And Lord, may you bring us back here this evening as we get in another Bible study on the book of Leviticus. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said,